I was going through, I'm like above where my I'm like at capacity on my Gmail, and it keeps telling me to pay or to delete emails. So I don't want to pay. So I went through and they found my like largest emails to delete, and they're all 2008 emails from you where you were in high school and you just emailed me entire albums. Like the entire album, song by song by song, you emailed it to me. And I had like four albums worth of music in there.
Surprised it was only four. Rolling forward, Dr.
Sister Science Facts. So we are back. Summer is over, summer is ending. Which is it?
It still feels absurdly hot.
It is so hot in DC.
But summer is coming to an end.
Summer is ending and it is back to school. And Alicia, back to school, just it's so different as an adult than it was as a kid.
When we were young, you would always take me back to school shopping.
I love back to school shopping.
You bring me to American Eagle to buy a new pair of jeans.
Yeah, we just needed jeans, right? We need to fit in. We needed new jeans.
New backpacks, new folders, crayons, colored pencils.
Yes, crayons, color pencils. I also liked having the left-handed scissors. I always wanted a pair of the left-handed scissors so that I would be prepared for any project.
But as an adult, it doesn't really feel the same.
No. Instead, I'm like, oh, where are the forms? Did I fill out the forms? There are so many forms that DC needs for daycare. And I just feel like I'm collecting forms.
You're not the only one. People come to the emergency department all the time being like, please sign my forms.
And this back to school is especially different for both of us because we both have new jobs.
We do have new jobs that feel, at least mine, feels like exactly the same as the old job.
My job actually feels pretty different. So I was working at a medical center in New York City, and now I work at a medical center in Washington, D.C. So I've also moved to D.C., and now you just can't get rid of me. And so we are back with our new jobs, and we're back with the podcast. We hope that you enjoyed SCOTUS Summer. I really enjoyed it.
And all the musical outros.
And we are going to be moving forward with this week's episode of Rolling Forward, where we're going to talk about back to school.
So I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
I'm a pediatrician.
I'm a psychiatrist.
And we're both physician researchers.
That's right. And in this podcast, we break down the news and science so that families can feel informed and prepared. And we decided to focus on back to school this week because there are so many questions that come up around back to school, and we both hear a lot of them. So today we're going to be talking about germy germs. We're going to be talking about sleep. We're going to be talking about mental health. And then we're also going to be checking in with you guys as parents and caregivers about what this process might feel like.
So starting with the germs.
You want to start with the germs?
I want to start with the germs.
And as always, views are our own, not our employers or our funders. And nothing here is intended to be medical advice, because although we're doctors, we're not your doctor. So this conversation is just intended to be general guidance around general topics, not individual patient advice. So with that, let's get started. First up.
Let's start with germs.
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 Ugh, germs.
So back to school means back to germ season.
And germs are everywhere.
With kids in daycare, it feels like germs are year-round, but the fall is a particularly brutal season for respiratory viruses, particularly flu, COVID, RSV.
Tell me more.
Every fall, respiratory viruses typically increase as cooler weather drives people indoors and close contact makes it easier for viruses to spread. So school is just the perfect environment for close contact of people indoors.
And when everybody goes inside, they start holding hands, they start sneezing, they start sharing supplies, eating together in the cafeteria, and we see rates of contagious diseases like flu and RSV go up.
We've actually been seeing a rise of COVID over the past few weeks already, and so I think it's just going to get worse as school starts. So this is a reminder to keep your kids updated on vaccines when they're eligible, thinking about COVID vaccines and flu vaccines for the new school season. The flu vaccine is already in stock at most pharmacies.
And there's been a lot of confusing and conflicting advice around some of these shots. So that's why it's really important to have a conversation with your pediatrician about what's right for your family. And there's also a vaccine for RSV. We've talked about that in our prior episodes. It's only for those children that are under a year. So RSV spreads really easily among kids, including school-age children. And there's a vaccine that's available to protect those who are most vulnerable to serious illnesses, which are those that are most young and those that are most old, as well as pregnant women. So maybe you have a school-age children, but also a baby on the way or a young child in your household. And so this is another great conversation to have with your pediatrician.
In addition to vaccines, let's not forget the basics. Hand washing, sleep, nutrition, washing surfaces, all key. Super boring, but they work. Soap works.
So boring and so important. Which brings us to our next segment of back to school, sleep. As a psychiatrist, there are so many people who come to me with questions and concerns about sleep. It is a common topic year-round, but especially around back to school.
I think the transition from summer to the school year, particularly for middle school students, high school students, is this like late bedtime, waking up at 11 a.m. all summer long, and then all of a sudden school starts at like 7:30 in the morning.
Such a transition and such a shift from the more casual, unstructured summer that many people have to the rigidity of a school schedule and needing to be in your homeroom by a certain time. I remember what that was like. Those first few weeks were miserable.
The American Academy of Sleep Medicine recommends 9 to 12 hours of sleep for school-age kids and 8 to 10 for teens, which is way more than most kids are getting.
And the thing is, this isn't just about laziness, right? Because it's easy to be like, oh, someone's staying up too late. Maybe they didn't start their homework until later. They're playing video games and then they're tired in the morning and they don't want to get up for school. But this isn't laziness. Everyone has a circadian rhythm, which refers to their internal clock. And teenagers have circadian rhythms that naturally shift later when they go through puberty. So their brains really don't want to fall asleep until maybe 11 p.m. But that's not going to change the time that school starts. School is still going to start when school is going to start, even if they don't go to sleep until 11 p.m.
That's why some school districts have actually moved high school start times later. And they've seen a lot of benefits from that, ranging from improved test scores, improved attendance, to even fewer car crashes among teen drivers.
I was surprised when I started to see this, but the reality is that sleep is safety. And now the American Academy of Pediatrics, your people, have put out a policy statement that is recommending that school start no earlier than 8:30 a.m. for middle school and high school students in order to improve their physical and mental health, as well as their safety, academic performance, and quality of life. I mean, I'm sold.
And we're seeing more and more schools shift to a later time, which is amazing. Start the young kids, start the kindergartners early, start the high school students later.
So Alicia, what can families do as they're coping with these schedule changes, circadian rhythms, the night owls? How can families cope?
You can slowly start nudging your bedtime earlier by 15, 20 minutes a night in the week before school starts. Instead of allowing free range, instead of allowing kids to go to bed late, start moving that a little earlier and earlier every night.
And if school has already started, it's not too late to do this either. You can keep going 5-10 minutes each night, getting an earlier bedtime into play.
The other thing that's really helpful but can be really hard to do is to keep a consistent bedtime and a consistent wake-up time, even on the weekends. It's really hard to tell your kid, let's not sleep till 1 p.m. every Saturday, but setting that consistent schedule actually makes it easier to fall asleep earlier during the week. It's actually much healthier for your sleep pattern.
Because this back and forth of some days you have to wake up at 6 and other days you can sleep till 11, it's confusing for your internal clock and it can be really hard to adjust to that. So something my family does is that we tend to schedule an activity, something that is fun and enjoyable on Saturday mornings that we do as a family. And that gives us a reason to get up and go.
We also recommend minimizing screen time, to dim lights, an hour or so before bed. Bright lights, especially from your phone, can be really confusing for your brain. It makes the brain think it's seeing sunshine, and it can be hard to fall asleep when you think it's daytime.
So some changes that I've made in the past year is that I try to keep my phone outside of the bedroom. And I think we all know this one, but it is so hard in the moment to act on it, which is recommended for young people. They shouldn't have their phones in their rooms alone anyway. So maybe you could set up a charging station in the kitchen where the phones go and stay there. Another change that I've made in the past year is to start using a Kindle to read at night. I really like to read. I like to borrow digital books from the library, but I've noticed that if I'm reading on the Kindle app on my phone, it's so easy to get distracted by a text message that comes in or the bright lights. And so I've shifted to reading on a Kindle that I keep on a dark mode.
And if all else fails, the sunlight actually really dictates our circadian rhythm. And so having early morning exposure to sunlight really helps reset your clock.
One way that we do this in our home is that we have our dining table right by the large windows that we have, and we open up all the shades, even if it's early in the morning, and we sit right in the sunlight to have breakfast here together instead of maybe eating in the kitchen or the countertop, because we have more sunlight exposure here. And so we know that that is helping our bodies reset their clocks.
And it's not just a problem for kids. As someone who does shift work, sleep habits are really hard, and it's really hard to consistently model good behaviors, but kids will notice that.
Yeah, if I'm saying, hey, we have to go to bed at a certain time, but then I'm not doing it myself, or I'm not waking up on Saturday morning at the time that we set, that's something that the kids in my life notice and are going to comment on. And so modeling our behavior is really important.
So you see a lot of patients in your practice asking questions about sleep. What are the other things that you really see in your practice this time of year?
So right around back to school, this is when I see anxiety go up. Anxiety really spikes because we're talking about going back to school. People might be in new schools. Even if they're in the same schools, they're going to have new classes, new teachers. There's going to be new social dynamics, and that can feel so overwhelming. Especially if kids might have a pre-existing mental health condition like ADHD or anxiety, this type of transition can be very destabilizing. And so we expect, even for kids who have been doing really well over the summer, that they might hit some bumps on the way back to school as we're getting into the new school routine.
The red flags for kids aren't always the most obvious. Sometimes it's as subtle as trouble sleeping, or a big one in young kids is belly aches. Some kids start having irritability or sudden shyness that they want to stay home. They don't want to go out with their friends. These can all be signs of school-related stress.
Exactly. And yeah, sometimes kids come home and say, I'm stressed, but that's not typical, because usually kids can't quite articulate I'm anxious yet. So it comes out in behaviors. So for younger kids, we're going to see some tantrums. And then in older kids, maybe we're going to see them withdraw or really shut down.
So what can we do to help?
The biggest thing here is to keep communication open. That somebody might be having a tantrum, someone might be shutting down, and not to respond to that with your own emotions where you're going to have a tantrum or shut down, but rather to just remain open. So even a simple check-in like, how are you feeling about school today? It can make kids feel seen. And don't be afraid of silence, because sometimes the answer is going to come later, or like you've mentioned, during those car rides, right? Those car rides.
You can't get out. You can't get out. You're stuck there.
You're stuck in the car. So it's going to come out of the car ride, or even for other people, bedtime. And maybe it starts as a bedtime delaying tactic, but it can be a nice place to have a conversation at the end of the day.
Routines help when we're talking about bedtime. Predictability helps lower anxiety. Having a consistent morning routine, having the same order, you brush teeth, shower, backpack, breakfast, shoes, whatever it is for your house, that can really reduce stress before rushing for the bus.
And for kids who may have higher needs, do be reaching out to your school to seek out accommodation through a 504 plan or an IEP. The school is going to be able to provide things like test-taking supports or quiet spaces or extra time for transitions. So if you're noticing some struggles that your child is having, it's worth reaching out to the school earlier and not waiting until things spiral or get worse.
Every parent has the right to formally request an evaluation and to formally request a 504 plan. They just need to be written requests that you give to the school. It has to be on paper. You write out, and it can be as simple as, I want a 504 plan evaluation. Just write it out on paper, hand it to the school.
That is such an important tip, because if you are noticing a struggle, it's worth reaching out in that way and getting help sooner rather than later. None of us want to see our kids struggle, and this is a way of getting them extra support.
504 plans range from providing extra supports for kids with learning disabilities to providing EpiPens for kids with peanut allergies. So they're highly variable. They're all across the board, and you can request them in writing for all sorts of things for your kids.
And as always, if you're noticing any impact of anxiety or other mental health symptoms with daily life, like let's say your kid is refusing to go to school, refusing to sleep, or you're really noticing some major mood changes, it's worth talking to your pediatrician and getting some support and advice around that.
Back to school jitters are totally normal, but if they linger, they escalate, they seem a little bit off to you, not quite normal jitters, support is out there. Reach out to different providers that are available to you.
And when we're talking about back to school jitters, this isn't just for kids. Let's be honest that parents, guardians, and caretakers can also have their own stress. I know just this week I've been thinking about the logistics of school drop-off with going to my job, who's going to pick up. She's got dance on Tuesdays. It can just feel like a lot.
And she's two.
So what is it going to be as things increase? So this is where self-compassion really matters, because you're not failing if your kid is eating mac and cheese multiple nights a week when you're starting off, because that's what we're doing. I'm transitioning to a new job and I'm getting into the habit of leaving home, going to my office. I've got a whole new routine. I have to do so many trainings and onboarding. By the time that I'm able to leave work and come home, it's later than usual. And you know what? We're doing what we can. Sometimes it's mac and cheese. Sometimes it's picking something up on the way home. Sometimes it's breakfast for dinner. You are not failing. Survival mode is parenting. And there are weeks and periods of time that we just need more support.
It's also okay if you forget activities. You forget to pack a swimsuit for splash day. You forget to pack pajamas for pajama days. Kids bounce back faster than we do. And honestly, sometimes I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, my daughter just went in without her swimsuit, just in her regular clothes for splash day. And she thought it was really funny.
She also regularly tries to wear her bathing suit to school on just normal days of the week.
On non-splash days, because she says if she wears her swimsuit, then it'll be splash day. It hasn't worked yet, but she's still trying. So the best gift you can give your kid isn't these perfect Instagrammable lunches, although kudos to you if you are. It's the parent who's modeling balance and boundaries. That's what we want for our kids, that they have balance in their life, that they have boundaries, that they have happiness and self-compassion. And if we want them to have that in their lives, we need to show us modeling it in our lives.
This means giving yourself permission to simplify. Maybe it's using grocery delivery, grocery store pickup, saying no to the PTA, the extra committee that they're requesting you to do, letting your laundry pile up a little bit, or if you're in New York, letting someone else do your laundry.
Oh man, in New York, $1 a pound with pickup and free delivery and fold. I mean, I don't know why we do laundry again. I've yet to find that since moving to DC, but that is, if you are in New York, please seek that out. Something that I've just started doing to help us is using ChatGPT in order to meal plan. So I told ChatGPT the types of foods that we like to eat. I walk by a Trader Joe's on my way home from work, and I asked ChatGPT to make me a meal plan for this week and then to organize it into a grocery list that is arranged around the sections of the store, and also to make me a visual image of it that I can put up on the fridge. So we're going to see how this goes. And I'm happy to share what ChatGPT came up with for us. But this is an example of me just trying to simplify my life and not have to think about this in the same way.
Another tip is connecting with other parents. I know that when things are stressful, reaching out to people in a similar space can be really helpful, even if just the response is like, ugh, yes, this. That makes it feel lighter. It makes it feel better.
Because we don't have to do this in isolation. And the bottom line is when we care for ourselves, kids are going to learn that from us. They're going to learn that flexibility, imperfections, this is a part of life. And that is a really powerful lesson. So in the season of change, in the season of new routines, difficulty sleeping, the germs that are coming for us, the sleep, the anxiety, the stress, make space for yourself. Have compassion for your own mistakes. Have compassion for your own challenges. And kids will learn that from you.
Whether you're sending your first child to preschool or you're sending your fifth child to middle school, high school, back to school is a reset for the whole family.
And our health, our routines, our mental well-being, they all connect. So this is an important time to reset and get ready for the school year.
Remember, you don't have to do it all perfectly. Nobody does, even if Instagram tells you so. You just have to do everything with intention.
And if something's worked for your family, share it with us. Send us your back-to-school survival tips. We're at Rolin Forward Show. That's R-O-L-I-N forwardshow@gmail.com or on any of our socials. And that's our show for today.
Until next week, good luck with all the vaccine forms.
And may your drop-off line be short. Are you ready for what your 2008 self was listening to?
Let's see. 2008, I was 18. Mm-hmm. On my 18th birthday, the Death Cab for Cutie album came out.
Correct. Narrow Stairs.
Yep.
That is that the one? You sent me the whole thing.
And the other album that came out my 18th birthday was Jason Mraz.
That's exactly the other one that you sent too. It's called,
We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things. They both came out my 18th birthday.
We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things.
It was a memorable birthday.
Yes. And then there were some other random songs as well. Some stuff from Eskimo Joe, Belle and Sebastian.
I don't even know who Eskimo Joe is. I'm going to say you sent me that one.
It's possible. It's possible. But after I deleted those, I had like 20% of my email back. I just thought that was so funny.